when you hear these gospel accounts of the resurrection, as a nature lover like I am, and from a family of farmers and scientists, you can't help but marvel at the contrast of nature and the remarkable symbols that we find of kind of the phenomenon of the resurrection in the gospel. For example, we read of the darkness of night and the light of a new dawn, of the wet sea and the dry beach, the cold air off the Sea of Tiberias, and the warmth of a charcoal fire. You even have the bad luck of absolutely no fish all night, but then a huge catch of 153 right on the other side of the boat, thanks to the word of the Master. And you have the forlorn fishermen, the disciples without a master, yet the unassuming presence of the resurrected Christ. So as I say, the nature and the symbols that come through in these gospel readings overwhelms many of us, I think. And in somewhat like the same way when we see the beautiful photos that I recently received by internet of blue beauty Earth. I'm sure some of you have seen these photos that show from a satellite planet Earth, marvelous in light and darkness as the planet turns. A planet which is beautiful and remarkable seems big enough for most of us, and yet God, our Creator, makes us tiny, one might say, especially when we look again at the marvels of creation. More photos, for example, that I've seen recently, perhaps from National Geographic, show our tiny planet, our tiny star, our tiny galaxy in relationship with the great universe. So we have Earth next to huge Jupiter in our own solar system. And then our sun compared with other huge stars like Sirius and Pollux and Arcturus. And Arcturus being one of the brightest stars in the whole sky, like Antares, 15th brightest, or Betelgeuse. These are huge stars compared to our own sun. Stars that are like 1,000 light years away that make our sun look like, well, like a matchstick or nothing. Now go to another galaxy beyond our own galaxy and you have huge galaxies which completely blind tiny Earth. There's no evidence that it even exists when you get on that scale. It's just a tiny blip, you know. It gives a new meaning to the phrase, you're one in a million. It's more like you're one in billions, nothing. I recall reading when I was in college the novel, science fiction novel, Restaurant at the Edge of the Universe. And it was always kind of fascinating for my nature-loving family. I think if we could only have gone out to that restaurant on a spaceship and watched the Big Bang, just and then come pull back in just before you got caught in the dust of the universe, something that the book and movie kind of made me wonder about how big the universe is. These marvels in nature, are nothing, you might say, in comparison to the resurrection. It's hard for me to even believe, as a nature lover, and perhaps for many others, that there are scientists who do not believe. People who, seeing all of this, can't comprehend a God creator, and even less a resurrection, which is like a second Big Bang. God sends His only Son to be with us on planet Earth, who unfortunately we crucify, and yet He raises Him from the dead. Now that's a bigger bang than the first creation of the universe. It's hard for many people to believe, not only in God, but certainly in the resurrection. The disciples themselves, we notice, kind of went back to normal behavior, back fishing. Perhaps forlorn and discouraged. What could they do? And there were repeated appearances of Jesus, perhaps to emphasize again and again in different places. First Jerusalem, then all the way to Galilee. To spread it out, to show over and over again what seems unbelievable. It takes repeated signs in nature, and in our lives to really comprehend the greatness of God, the Creator, and even the miracle of the resurrection. Scientists might rightly ask, well, how did Jesus get resurrected? As they like to ask those how questions. Or how does he just appear in these places, like on the beach? What kind of a body was it, physically? Or what kind of material was it made of? What would be the science behind the resurrection for you nature lovers? Well, I think perhaps another approach to this would be, instead of going out into the universe, the great, great universe, try going inward to the tiniest particles, if you love nature and science. What do we find? Tiny organisms of even just one cell. Moreover, tiny bacteria and virus-sized polymer molecules. Just consider DNA alone, your own DNA, like no one else's. And tell me that you're not amazed. Nanoparticles that have molecular diameters on the order of 0.25 or 0.5 nanometers. When we get down to the sizes of atomic particles, like protons, electrons, ions, we discover that the distances between the electrons and the nucleus are comparable to the size and distances of the sun in our galaxy. Huge. Huge spaces. Most of the volume of atoms and molecules is just a lot of empty space. And they're tiny. I learned some of this from my scientist brother, Donald, who's a doctor of chemical engineering and working in fuel membranes with chemicals. And he seems to believe that it's quite possible that if hydrogen can go through a fuel cell membrane, well, then certainly the resurrected body of Christ could penetrate a rock tomb or walk through walls, he says. You know, it's just, physics is not a barrier. Perhaps faith is. So whether we go very big out into the universe or very small into atomic physics, God is capable of creating and resurrecting on immense proportions. In fact, a marble-sized black hole might be the very first Big Bang creating everything that we even see, simply by putting space between the electrons and protons in the atoms. Well, with such magnitude and all-powerfulness, we can only ask, as the psalmist does, what then is a human person that God should care for us? Only love could explain why God sends his Son, Jesus, to us on earth. A God who even knows the numbers of hairs on our head, looks out for us more than for birds of the air or lilies of the field. I assure you, as a nature lover, that any one of these things is a living miracle, much less a human being. We seem at times as insignificant, a nothing in this huge universe when you put it in this perspective. And it's humbling to think of ourselves as nothing on planet Earth, which is so lovely and blue. Yet, remarkably, we are cared for and loved despite sometimes our wickedness. So the very idea of raising this crucified Jesus from the dead is obviously a sign of peace and reconciliation on God's part, rather than punishment for our sins. The resurrection, then, to me, is comparable to another Big Bang. It's, in fact, on such a great scale or bigger. Christ, who fills the nets of these disciples and then fills their tummies by preparing a fish fry breakfast for them, this is the same Christ who brings us in from the cold world, especially when we are discouraged and empty. The warmth of his fire and the love of his heart is beyond the universe by any comparison. Yet we tiny creatures that we are find ourselves in this loving grace of God and live in this miraculous particle of his universe. So I tell you, if you love the universe, you will really love the resurrection.